If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's great to have a dishwasher, but sometimes you just want to put on rubber gloves and stick your hands in, and then notice that there's corn in the sink that you want to wash down the drain. And no matter how much water you pour in the different places to try and get the stream to move the corn into the hole, it just will not go, no matter what.
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Hello.
Hello.
Do I sound deep and
husky?
Do
you want me to say sexy, don't you?
I don't. No.
Oh, okay. Because,
you know, otherwise, I don't want to find myself on the receiving end of a hashtag Me Too.
Yeah.
I'm not very well.
Yes, I know. You've got a bit of a mild cold, didn't you?
Oh, I've got a mild cold. Oh. It's the worst.
The mild cold.
Is there
the
anything worse than a mild cold?
Oh, nothing.
When we're doing the radio show, this is the sort of thing that would have had me. Had me off work for days.
Days? Yeah, but when we used to get paid for sick days.
Oh, yeah, then when they changed the system and we didn't get paid for sick days anymore. Amazing what I would be able to drag myself into work in the throes of.
You become a real soldier, didn't you?
I really did. But yeah, you know, when we did get sick pay, I would be laid low for days. But the trouble is, when we're doing this podcast in my loft, it's quite difficult to say, oh, I don't feel up to it.
No, I mean, we could drag a bed over to the microphone and you could actually do it from bed.
I would love that.
Yeah, I know you would.
Really love that, to be like the granddad in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yes. Oh.
So I went to the chemist to buy some, you know, medication. Mm. I got myself some ibuprofen and codeine.
Oh, hard stuff.
Oh, always. I mean, why, if you can get it over the counter, why wouldn't you get it over the counter?
Okay.
Is my philosophy on this. But they do this thing where they say, and just to make you aware, codeine can cause addiction, so you can't take it for more than 3 days. Mm. And I feel that over the years, I have really perfected the face. It's like nodding. Oh, really? Well, I've never really taken it before, but that's good to know. Thank you. I do a really good job of, oh, okay. Mm. Okay, well, I'm a sensible guy and I'm going to take that on board.
The kind of face that wouldn't dream of like not doing that.
Yeah. So that's one of my great skills in life that I've developed. The other thing that's happened to me in recent days is I had my phone stolen.
I know, you did, yeah.
I don't know if I can call it a mugging. At what point does something become a mugging?
When something's stolen from you in the street, it's a mugging. Unless it's a pickpocketing. Yeah, okay.
So it wasn't a pickpocketing because it wasn't by stealth.
Yeah.
But I think for it to really be a mugging, there needs to be some kind of threat.
And was there no threat then?
Well, no.
Just said, would you mind if I take that from you?
No, I was walking along the street, I was reading an article on my phone, which I can't say what it is because people will tweet the person involved, but it was the biggest load of self-regarding nonsense.
Oh, I'm dying to know what that is.
I wonder if I could have got a pencil there so I can write down the name of the person.
There's a pen.
Where?
Here, in my hand.
Oh, great. It's amazing. Right. Like, and I was thinking about all the people that I wanted to forward this article to because it was so ridiculous.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden I feel my phone being grabbed at.
Oh no.
And I start yelling obscenities.
Brave.
And then it's gone out of my hand. This was 11:15 in the morning.
Yeah.
It was in central London. It was outside the BBC broadcasting house, right in the middle of things. And a guy on a moped had come up onto the pavement. And then just snatched it out of my hand and drove off. Mopeds, this has become a big thing. I know many people who this has happened to. My friend Emma, who works on the other podcast, said that in that week she'd seen 4 people.
That's a lot.
Have this happened to them. So it's an epidemic.
I know it's terrible. It's a terrible thing to do, but I can't help feeling slightly impressed because even when I'm on a bicycle, I can't lift one hand off the handlebars to indicate left or right. And they had to go one-handed on a moped, which is much faster.
Yeah, because sometimes there's 2 of them. Like, well, there's one having a little cuddle on the back.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, that's when they got Sarah's phone, okay. That's how they did it.
Okay, but that's less skilled.
But this was just one guy. So he got up on the, you know, he'd spotted the phone. He'd got up on the pavement. He'd grabbed at it and off he went. It's weird that a moped has become a threatening vehicle, though.
Yeah, that as well, yeah. Like, they only reach 30 miles an hour, can't they?
A moped of terror.
Yeah.
But the worst thing about it, so I had to report it to the police to get a crime incident number and so on, and they asked me if I needed a counsellor.
Did they? That's nice.
Yeah, they do. They do that as a matter of course.
Oh.
And, you know, I know having something snatched out of your hand can be traumatic, but I didn't find that traumatic. But what I am finding quite harrowing is not just being able to look at a phone every 5 seconds.
I can't even begin to imagine for you how that must be.
Like, there can be big half-hour stretches where I don't know what's happening on Twitter.
Oh my God, half an hour.
It's truly horrendous. So that's my last few days. How have yours been?
Well, I went away for the weekend. I was socialised, I think, for the first time in what feels like many months.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I went to go and stay with some of Tom's friends in Loughborough, so outside of London. Let me tell you what living outside London buys you. An island in the kitchen, a separate shower and bath in the bathroom, and on the guest bed, out of the 4 pillows, they were all of equal quality, high quality. It wasn't like the 2 underneath ones were stained and lumpy. Like, even in my own bed, the 2 underneath ones are the stained, lumpy ones, which I always feel a bit sorry for because they would have started off on the top.
Yeah.
They would have been the new guys.
And
there would have come a day when it was like, okay, we've been demoted to the bottom. So that's
well,
what.
So were you doing the thing where you work out what your flat is worth and then work out what you could have got in Loughborough?
Like, I will be doing that thing. Yeah. So
because the thing is, like, I will sometimes do that, but then I'll think, but there's like a really great hipster coffee shop across the road from me, and I wouldn't get that in the countryside. But where you live in London, you don't really have that problem, do you?
Yeah, no, we don't. We don't
there's
have any
there.
No. So I might as well just leave really and get to have an island in my kitchen. Mm. Also, on Friday night when we arrived, we were going to get a takeaway, and it was. The options were fish and chips or pizza. And Tom said, why don't we get both? So he got fish and chips. And an hour later, a pizza arrived. We had 2 dinners. It's the most extravagant thing I've ever done.
That's called a bang bang.
There's a thing. It's a name.
Yeah, have you ever watched the sitcom Louis with disgraced comedian Louis C.K.?
No.
Yeah.
Well, then I had a bang bang on Friday
bang
night.
Bang. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, thank you.
Sometimes when you're not paying attention, you didn't even realize you were in a sewer. This is not that case. Right now you're on a lake, and it's nice. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port, Adrift.
Please share your story with us and your fellow drifters. You can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
This is from Vince in Chertsey. Years ago, when my son was a bit younger, the two of us used to go to Germany during February half term to see my brother and his family. At the end of one such visit, when my son was 8 years old, we reached border control at Heathrow, where the officer questioned my son to confirm who I was. My son was confused and alarmed by this and stumbled over his answers, which added to the tension. Anyway, after a short while, we were on our way to baggage reclaim. My son asked what had just happened, and I explained that as I was a man travelling with a child, I attracted more attention and that they were just trying to make sure that I was his father and that he was safe. He seemed content with the explanation. Wind the clock forward 1 year and we'd just got off the plane and were approaching border control again. I needed a toilet break, so we nipped into the nearest facility. My son didn't need to go, so he stood next to the sinks while I was at the urinal. While I was in mid-flow, a voice piped up from behind. So if the man at security asks me who you are, I have to tell them that you're my father. At that point, there must have been around a dozen other men in the toilet, all of whom turned and looked towards me, obviously under the impression I was some kind of child trafficker. As the earth hadn't conveniently swallowed me up at that point, I had to turn round and face the crowd. Of course you do, I mumbled as I washed and dried my hands in record time and got the hell out of there. Thankfully, I didn't end up getting carted off to some interrogation room and got away from the airport intact.
Oh, that's good.
I still shudder at the memory. And this is from Jonathan, the Sultan of the Netherlands. At random points in my life, this story pops into my head and I cringe. I mean, physically cringe, which does get me some strange looks when I suddenly screw up my face in disappointment and sometimes mutter out loud, oh no, why? I grew up in Scotland in a small cul-de-sac, and the neighbours that lived around my mum and dad's house were much older. As the only young family in the area, and as an adventurous kid, I'd visit neighbours' houses and they'd welcome me and give me juice and biscuits, sometimes play football in the back garden, you know, stuff like that. As I grew older, the visits were less frequent, as it gets awkward if you pop over as a teen. And anyway, I had better stuff to do than hang around with old people. And as time marches on, the older the neighbours got, until one day, one of the neighbours died. Mr. Smith was a lovely man. I remembered him as someone that was wise, witty and just really nice. So I went to his funeral. I sat in the crematorium, surrounded by Mr. Smith's relatives and friends. Everyone was obviously sad and distraught. I was reminiscing on the stories and memories of visiting when I was younger. I remember glancing at Mrs. Smith and wondering what she must be thinking. How do you cope with losing someone that you'd married and lived with for decades? These were the generations that really stuck together. This must be absolutely devastating. The world you know, new, changing permanently forever. Anyway, the service was very good. Is that right? Feels odd to say funeral service was good. And Mrs. Smith waited by the door and everyone queued up to offer sympathy. I thought it was only right to also say something too, so I queued up. I watched the people in front say something in subdued tones, then give her a hug. That's when it suddenly struck me. What could I say that would encapsulate the whole enormity of her husband passing? How could anything my brain create offer any condolence to this painfully new widow that looked so fragile and helpless when she was usually so full of energy and positivity? I did the only thing that I could do and panicked. The queue grew shorter. Only five people left, and then it was my turn. My mind worked out a solution. Let's get a phrase now. Let's get a phrase and practice it internally. And then when you get there, don't do anything stupid. Repeat the phrase, hug, move on. That's the plan. That's a good plan. Four people ahead. Okay, thinks the saying. My thoughts are with you. Too short. My thoughts are with you in this time of grief. Good, but sounds like something that would come out of a card. Needs to be more personal. Think of something personal. Thanks for all the juice. Too personal. She'd never remember that she handed out juice. Anyway, it says nothing about her loss. I snapped out of my panic. The queue was getting shorter, and with every person, poor Mrs. Smith was looking more and more distressed. I regretted getting into the queue. I could just leave the queue, but now I'm third, and I can't just wait all this time and then walk away as if I'm suddenly not interested or I'm late for a bus. I've got to get my phrase and then just deliver it and get out of this horrible situation. I'm so sorry for your loss. That's better. It's personal. It's short, not too long. Perfect. I started to relax. I'm so sorry for your loss. Hug, release, walk away. I kept repeating it and my lips moved as I practiced. Second in the queue. And the worst thing possible happened. As if the person in front of me had picked up on my repeated whispering, they approached the distressed Mrs. Smith and said, I'm so sorry for your loss.
Oh, no.
I couldn't believe it. I can't say that now. That looks like I've just not thought about it at all. That the best I could do while waiting in line, while sitting in the service, was to blindly repeat the phrase used by the person in front of me. I started sweating. My eyes saw the person in front hug the frail Mrs. Smith and walk away. The small, vulnerable eyes of Mrs. Smith met mine. I had nothing to say. I walked forward and went to hug her. She responded with the most frail and heartbreaking hug I have ever had. My brain was a mess with panic. I didn't know what I should say. And as I hugged her, I whispered in her ear the first thing that came into my head. Unlucky. Mortification hit immediately. I couldn't look at her. I just started walking very quickly away and never turned around. Why did I come out with that? What was I thinking? It wasn't even on the shortlist. So even to this day, and as I write this, I can replay the lead up and the moment in my head. Each time I cringe as fresh as when it happened. I hope that in any way, sharing this might make my memory of the situation better.
Oh my goodness, that's extreme.
Yeah.
That was so great and so wonderfully told.
Yes.
Please, if you have a story of your own failed human interactions, please share it with us. We would love to hear from you. As I said last week, even if it's a bit half-baked, trying and failing to say the right thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can throw that out there straight away.
Yeah.
I also thought about asking you for, is there somebody you see in your day-to-day life who you think considers you as an enemy?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good one.
Annabelle and I both talked before about when we worked at the radio station, when we were doing like different shifts, late shifts and early shifts, they'd send taxi companies to pick us up. And there were drivers who, both you and I, got it in our heads that they considered us their nemeses.
Yeah.
There was one guy, and I just got it in my head that he really disliked me. Every time I'd get in the car, he would turn up like sort of like Rammstein, like sort of hard German music, very loud, and he would drive quite dangerously. And I think he was prepared to endanger his own life just to scare me.
Yeah.
And you had one who...
Oh, I'm sure he hated me because he used to wait for me about, I don't know, 50 yards, 50 metres or so down the street, even though there was plenty of places to park outside where I was living. And he knew where I lived, so he would do that on purpose to make me walk in the cold and the rain down to meet him. And then when I get in the car, he would sort of open the windows randomly when it was cold, and then when it was hot, he would close them. And he would go around corners, like, so astonishingly... like, I mean, even if... Can you even drive at 1 mile an hour? If you can, he did. And then he would do weird things like stop at green lights and go at red... Like, he hated me. He tortured me every time.
Oh, so if you are convinced that somebody in your everyday life thinks of you as an enemy for no good reason, we'd love to hear about that, as well as all the usual bits and pieces like shyness is nice, pretending to know what you're doing when you don't in fact know what you're doing, blurting things out, things. And I guess the who's the Sultan of the Netherlands, his first name again?
Jonathan.
I guess this taps into this as well. Things which many years later still give you regular pangs of anxiety, where you just be going about your day and then you think, oh no, did I really say that? So please share your story with us and your fellow drifters. hello@adriftpodcast.com.
This is warm and friendly and you like it. And that's why you're here. You were the one that pressed play after all, with your thumb.
Adrift. With Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
You have a lovely thumb.
Hamble.
Yes.
So you have prepared a story.
I have, yes.
What's the subject this week?
It's about pets.
Aha.
Yes, because there's a weird thing about my child in that he totally blanks my dog. It's like he doesn't exist. Like Rusty the dog, he's obsessed by sniffing the baby. He would probably sniff the baby 24 hours a day if he could. I don't let him. But
just 18.
Yeah. If a dog twice the size of me that looks a bit like a giant teddy bear was in my face, I'd at least acknowledge its existence. Not my boy, very aloof with him.
Do you think he's treating him mean to keep him keen?
Oh, maybe. But I also think really what it is, he's only interested in his own hands.
Right.
Nothing is interesting as his own hands at the moment. Also, maybe it's because he's 3 months old. I don't know. I haven't bothered to look it up. But the kids, like, maybe as they get older, kids usually love animals, don't they?
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, I desperately wanted a pet, but my parents hate animals so much that when I told them I was getting a dog 2 years ago, my dad physically turned round as he was so disgusted and he couldn't even look at me. And my mum said, oh God, you're not going to keep him in the house, are you? You wouldn't keep a goat in the house, so please not a dog.
Just out of interest, would you keep a goat in the house?
To be fair, I wouldn't. Yeah. They appear to like Rusty now, though. Although when my mum came to stay recently, every time that Rusty came in from the garden, which bear in mind was, you know, 4 to 5 times a day, she would wipe each paw with an antibacterial wipe. And it hadn't even been raining. There was no mud in the garden. I strongly suspect that she'd like to wear a hazmat suit when she comes around to mine, but she doesn't like to offend me. So they hate animals. But when me and my sister were little, we were allowed to bring home the goldfish we'd won at the fair different times. Now, my sister called hers Finny. I called mine Fanny, which in my defence wasn't an uncommon name in the books I was reading at the time. By which I mean Enid Blyton. I was also a pervert. But
just for any American listeners, Fanny over here is a vagina.
It is. Yes, that's right.
And over there, it's a bottom.
Ah, of course. Yeah, yeah. So the most significant thing about Fanny, though, was that she once attempted suicide.
What?
Yeah, I know. So my granny put a dead fly in her fishbowl. I'm assuming it was a her, I don't know. And she jumped out of the fishbowl onto the floor, which actually is quite impressive, like to build up that kind of momentum from a bowl. Thankfully, I happened to be in the room very soon after the attempted suicide and was able to put her back in the bowl. But I've often wondered two things. One, what was it about the fly that made Fanny want to kill herself in such a dramatic way? Like, was she a passionate vegetarian, the Morrissey of the goldfish world, and was outraged at the fact that basically a dead carcass had been thrown in her home?
Your granny's like the mafia.
Yes. But the other thing I've wondered is, why was granny throwing dead flies in a goldfish bowl? Like, what? Has she seen fish food before? Like, it's not really that big. So this is when I was about six, and the goldfish, they didn't last much longer than that. I mean, I'd assume they'd both died of old age, but maybe Fanny held her breath like, to kill herself. She had post-traumatic stress disorder, I don't know. But I then didn't have any pets until I was about 14 or 15, when in the school holidays, me and my friend Kirsten, we went to our local train station, and then we picked another station at random and went there, and it turned out to be Stamfordley Hope, which is home to both Joseph Conrad and Scroobius Pip. Mm-hmm. And as it turned out, my two hamsters, Willie and Vagina, and I'm joking, my two hamsters, Bernard and Rosie, which I impulse bought at the only place we visited in Stamfordley Hope, a pet shop. And I brought them home. My dad went mad. Okay, there was lots of swearing. Within a week, he was heard at their cage going, "Oh, Bernard, Rosie, hello, Bernard, hello, Rosie."
He's so soft.
I know. And they were very clever. Rosie used to climb upside down on the ceiling of her cage, which I took to be some kind of Fun Times Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling type thing. But in reality, she was probably making a depressing attempt to escape. And Bernard used to help me clean out the cage. Now, I was a teenager, so I wasn't that great at doing the weekly full clean of the cage. So what I'd do what I'd call a surface clean, and I'd get a teaspoon and I'd scoop out the individual poos. I mean, it's quite similar to my approach to cleaning now, really. But the amazing thing was that Bernard would help by scampering around the cage, picking up the poos with his mouth and then dropping them on my teaspoon. I'm worried now as I'm saying this that it was out of some kind of desperate attempt for cleanliness, that it was some kind of hamster Kim or Aggie. But anyway, I feel that he was very clever. So I don't know why my dad took to walking around the house booming, "Bernie is a moron." Like, it was his thing. But what I do know is that our next door neighbour was also called Bernie and oblivious to his hamster namesake. So we'll probably wonder what he'd done to deserve this taunting from my dad. They both died, though, sadly. Rosie from Wet Bottom, which is an actual hamster disease name. Mm-hmm. Bit lazy, isn't it? Sort of looking at it and just calling it that. And I never got another pet again until Rusty. But I do have very fond memories of Finny and Fanny and Bernard and Rosie. Although not all animals have been so kind to me. In fact, two animals have committed a crime against me. And that is next week's story.
You're Adrift.
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. Everything that you always wanted, and a friend that was with you all the time, who is also watching you closely, judging.
If you enjoy the podcast regularly, then why not support us on Patreon? Patreon.com/adrift from as little as $1 a month. You can get rewards.
Yep.
Those rewards get more impressive the more that you pledge. I mean, it's all relative. The most impressive one isn't really that impressive. I think it's $30 a month and you get life coaching session with me and Annabelle. But, you know, there are any number of things in between. So please, if you listen to us every week, you can just spare a little bit of money every month. You can pledge to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/adrift. Last week, we floated the idea of crowdfunding a coach trip to Annabelle's hometown of Southend.
I've forgotten about that, yes.
Well, I have had like a little bit of positive response on social media.
Okay.
So we should start thinking about
that. Okay, great.
So who is the local coach firm in Southend?
Oh, there is one. I don't know their name, but there is one. It might be called Crowns or something. But yeah, there definitely is one, yeah.
When I was growing up, the local coach firm was Bostock's.
Okay.
The reason... I know that's a weird thing to have stuck in my head.
Yeah.
But my grandma would always go on these mystery tours.
A mystery tour?
Yeah, where you'd, you know, pay your £4 or whatever to go on the coach, and you wouldn't know where it was going.
Oh, that's really fun.
And it was like nearly always go to Chester or Buxton or somewhere
not
like that.
Not so fun.
But somehow she would find out in advance where the mystery tour was going to.
What's the point?
So she'd go, I'm going on a mystery tour to Buxton this weekend.
Brilliant.
And then the other thing is like that would be the coach, whenever there was a school trip, we'd go on a Bostock's bus, and this chant must have been passed down the generations. Like everyone would sing, you'll never get to heaven on a Bostock's bus.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay.
So you think Crowns is the South End?
I have to check, yeah.
Equivalent.
Yeah, yeah.
And where would we go? I mean, what would the sights
be? I mean, I've already floated the idea that we might go and visit the scene of where I got cautioned for busking.
Yes.
When I was 11 or 12. I suppose we go to the pier where I once snogged Mark Wiles. Is that of any interest?
Well, it would be if we could get Mark Wiles along and reenact it.
Yeah, not sure he'd be that keen.
Would you?
We can look at my old schools. I don't know. I mean, I need to think this through, obviously.
And could we stop for chips?
Of course, yeah.
And how do you feel your parents would feel about us popping in to say hello?
Oh.
I think one of them would be more into it than the other.
I think so. And I think my mum would... If you mean going in their flat, I mean, I think she would spend from now until then cleaning, and then she would buy the entire cake department of Marks and Spencer's. So that's a mini appeal.
Well, they used to have, your parents used to have a party every year for the South End Air Show.
Yeah, yeah.
How many people would go to that party?
I don't know, maybe 30?
Right. So
they can do it. They've done it before. And they don't have the air show anymore. So I could sell it as, you know, the replacement air show party,
exactly.
But not annual.
No. Well, you never know.
It went well. Maybe.
All right. Well, we will continue to look into that for, we think, sort of late summer, maybe.
Okay.
You don't have illuminations in Southend, do you? Is that just a Blackpool thing?
Yeah, of course we do.
When do they turn the illuminations
on? Maybe there's not any sort of big turning on ceremony. Okay. Yeah.
Well, then, if there isn't, we could ask Town Council if they want to create one.
Oh, now you're talking. Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, more details on that as it happens. In the meantime, if you'd like to support us on Patreon, it's patreon.com/adrift.
Computer sounds are awesome. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Adrift.
Since my son was about 6 months old, I've been taking him for baby swimming lessons.
Oh, lovely.
And he's now not quite two. He's 22 months old. And it's getting to a stage where the level of skill involved is getting to be a bit taxing for me.
What, for a two-year-old? Really?
Yeah. What? So there's like, for example, last week she wanted to do a thing where I swung him round onto my back and had him sort of hold around my shoulders, and then I would swim along, and then I'd sort of dive down into the water with him on my back.
That does sound very advanced, okay.
Yeah, and I could just about do the breaststroke.
Yeah.
And even then, I've got an errant foot that makes very loud splashes.
Okay.
I once went on a villa holiday with a bunch of people, one of whom was a coach for the Swedish Olympic swim team, and he told me I had something called Screwfoot.
Screwfoot? It's got a name.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he said he could correct it, but it would take time.
And I guess you weren't that keen.
I wasn't that keen.
No.
Anyway, so we go for these swimming lessons every Sunday. It's very sweet. You should do it. It's really, really lovely. And the way we do it is 1 week, I will swim and my wife will watch.
Mm.
And then the next week, Sarah will swim and I will watch. And we've got a good system on the go because the one who watches also changes the baby in and out of his swimming clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very time efficient that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's at a primary school in North London with its own swimming pool. So this week we were running ever so slightly late. So it's touch and go whether we're going to be there at the start of the lesson, and it was the week where I was watching and Sarah was swimming, so it was my job to take Gene into the changing room and then get him into his swim clothes and then hand him over to her outside, at which point I would sit on a bench and watch.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as I went to change him, something terrible had happened. He'd made a bowel movement, which added an extra 90 seconds.
Oh.
I'm very,
quick.
Very proficient
I'm
in
impressed.
Nappy changing onto the whole thing. So so by the time I'd done that, I could hear that the previous class was finishing.
Yeah.
So I'm getting in a flap here. I've got him in his swimming costume, but I'm also like holding my coat. All his clothes are in. They've kind of got like, they look a bit like stretchers, but with depth for you to change them in.
Mm.
You've got two of those in the changing room. So all his things are kind of strewn in there. So I'm like really anxious and panicky, and I get him. him. I open the door. I beckon to Sarah to come and get him. And then I hand him over. As I'm handing him over, there's another dad from the previous lesson who wants to get into the changing room.
Okay.
Now, it's very obvious that what I'm doing will take a maximum of 5 seconds. Mm. But apparently, that is an unreasonable amount of time for this man.
Oh,
and he's kind of like tutting and harumphing a bit.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. And then I'm thinking, am I just imagining this because I'm anxious? But I let it go. I don't get into an altercation.
Okay.
So I then go back in the changing room to move all Jean's stuff. And this dad comes in directly behind me. And it becomes very apparent by the way he's sort of standing and tutting that he wants to change his kid in the exact same spot where Jean's clothes are all strewn around.
Right.
Now, there are plenty of other vacant spots, but let's not get into that right now. I just feel pressure to get all this stuff out of the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I do. And then as I'm carrying it over to the hook, he goes, excuse me, are these yours too? And I'd left some wet wipes on there.
No, in that voice?
Yes.
No.
Yeah. And I just thought, what an awful man. And since that occurred, like, I've played the situation many times in my head with the various different things I'd say. But at the time, I was just like in a panic because this guy had been so rude. So I go out with my tail between my legs to watch Jean swimming. When I come back to dress him, one of his socks is missing.
You don't think he stole a sock?
Yes.
No, you don't.
Yes.
Revenge stealing. Yes. Because he was so angry with you, he thought, right, I'm going to steal one of your son's socks.
Yes, exactly.
No.
There's no other explanation. Or is there?
Is there, yeah.
I'm going to investigate this whole thing in this week's The Incident. Full disclosure, I'm recording this bit the day after I recorded the part with Annabelle, and as you can hear, my voice has gone severely downhill. But for advice this week, I turned to genius comedian John Kearns.
You know, the walk in between the changing room and the swimming pool?
Yes.
There's that bit, I think, where you walk through the like shower, where you like you wet your feet.
Yes, yes.
It's been a while. But, you know, I think that's when you get him. You kind of grab him by the lapels.
So you physical contact. And
well, you grab him by the string of his trunks.
Right, yeah, because there are no lapels.
And you just go, I know you've got it. you leave it hanging. I know you've got it.
Yeah. And then do I scrutinise his face?
Well, what I think you should start going. I think you should pretend it was your sock. I think you need to start going to the. You go to the next swimming session dressed in your baby's clothes. You dress your baby in your clothes, and you go. And because you've got a bad voice, you can go, I caught a cold walking home.
Yes.
He'll then obviously say, I didn't take your shoe. And you'll go, that's not the point, mate.
Yes.
Like, really grab him and go, that's not the point, mate. You know, you're in his face at this point.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, it's actually quite erotic.
Right.
You're just like, that's not my point, mate. Like, really get in his face.
Yeah. We're two and guys go, in swimming trunks. We're getting into it.
Yeah, and then he'll be like, what do you mean? He'll get out the sock because he's got it on him at all times. He's got it under his, he's got a wig. So he's
because
got it under the wig. He goes,
he's worried.
You get your foot in that, mate. And then you go, yeah, I will, mate. And like your kids, they're lying there like, they're loving it. And you you will get your foot, you know, it's amazing what a human can do under pressure. Like, you know, an octopus that get into a jam jar. You get your whole body in that thing. And then you go, are you right with this, mate? Like, you call each other, like, it's really, like, you know, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
And then he'll be like, he'll you know, this guy's embarrassed. You know, he's really, you know, you're there in your sock laughing with your baby. He's laughing. he's, and then, you know, and then the great thing is his kid will grow up and be like, you know, the first memory, that question will come up. And he'll go, when my dad was trying to get this bloke to get in his sock. And, you know, he's like, I don't know what's wrong with my dad. He's so God, your dad sounds so uncool. And they were like, yeah, my dad's uncool. It's just, it's a disaster. He's made such a bad movie, this guy.
Have you ever seen your own father vanquished?
Yeah, I remember, I don't know what was going on in his, he's a very kind, passive man.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember we were walking past, you know the shop Fat Face?
I do, yeah, it's like surfing
in Richmond.
Right.
Yeah, I remember we just walking past there when I was like 14. And someone must have gone, oh, that's Fat Face. And he was walking past at exactly the same time. And he was like, you what, mate? What are you training me, mate? I was like, what the f-? I was like, why is this, why is he kicking off? And then he was so embarrassed. And like, it sounds small, but like, he is not, he's not like this at all.
Right, right.
And like, when we're driving, you know, we, that's the only time, like when my dad, I think especially father and sons, they talk honestly and openly with each other. When,
because there's no eye contact.
Well, his hands are busy.
Yeah.
His feet are busy. His eyes have to be on the road. His brain has to keep thinking. And then the last thing, that you know, is allowed to come out like a little bird is the emotional truth. So he'd always drop me, like, even if the tube station in London is like a minute away, he'd be like, yeah, I'll give you a lift.
Right,
and
he'd
be like,
right.
Oh, all right, yeah. And you get in next to him and, you know, you've been around the house for 6 hours. Mm. He said nothing. And then in this 1 minute, he's like, yeah, so this is happening with your brother and your mum's not well. And, you know, we'll get by, won't we? And if you want any money, just give me a bell. All right, mate, bye. And it doesn't even park up, just at the traffic lights. Yeah, get out now, mate. Yeah, watch it. Bye. And you're like, come on. Help me out here.
Has he ever mentioned the Fat Face incident?
No. No, never. It's really weird how it's completely ingrained in my mind because it was just so uncharacteristic. And I don't know if he was... You know, he's had diabetes, but he's kicked it. He's got the sugar-free digestives going. He's very proud of himself. But I don't know if there was a time. You know, I've got his. I can say this because I have inherited his barrel frame and bad eyesight. So you know, I'm talking about it will happen in 50 years' time. I'll walk past I'll walk past Fat Face and I'll kick off at someone and then I'll probably just look up at the sky and laugh and. Realize that life is circular and you can't escape where you come from, and I'll have an absolute epiphany of kind of truth.
So I shouldn't worry about vanquishing this guy in front of his kid.
You grab him by the strings, and then you know, as you're leaving, he's going to be embarrassed. I think you know, when I was a kid, the best thing about swimming was like a Dairy Milk afterwards. You just go over to the vending machine, you get him like a picnic, you know, it's not a bar that he wants, but it's still a nice gesture. You chuck it at him a bit too hard, so he kind of has to catch it like right up in his body. Like, you know, you've startled him a little bit
with a picnic. Yeah.
And you know, you give him a wink. And then you walk back to your car, and he walked back to the, and then there's going to, because there's always, you know, with men especially, there's pride. It's the silverback attitude. I said silverback there. I'm not sure what I meant. The silverback attitude, you know.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Later, when you go for a walk, you can take the show with you so that you're not left with your thoughts, because we know what's going on there, and it's just, it's quite scary. You should probably consult a doctor, or you should maybe get a dog and then walk with your dog, or steal a dog, but just dogs can help you because they suck up your dangerous thoughts.
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
After we finished recording last week's podcast, we went downstairs and my wife was entertaining a friend.
Yes.
We were introduced. I'd never met her before. We were introduced. Her name was Abagalaya.
Yeah.
And straight away I said, five syllables. When do you ever meet someone with a five syllable name? Five syllable first name. That's amazing. Mm. I thought that was some real grade A small talk.
She was not interested.
No.
Was she? I thought that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, how good does your small talk have to be?
I know. She was like, she didn't want to engage in with that topic conversation.
Or just with me in general.
No, I witnessed this and that did happen.
Good. Because I said to Sarah, I said, I don't think she likes me. And I don't think she appreciated me pointing out that a five-syllable first name is a rare and precious thing.
I was going to text you afterwards and say the same thing because I thought the same thing too.
It was great. It was a great observation, wasn't it?
I thought, because you count the syllables really quickly as well.
I thought
that was cool. Yeah.
I wanted some acknowledgement for how quickly I counted those syllables.
You didn't get anything like that. No, I know.
So you don't think there's anything offensive in the way I was behaving?
No, because, and also I don't think it's something like every time she says a name, people always go straight away, oh, five syllables, because you counted it so quickly.
Yeah.
So it's not like she was like, oh, I always get that.
No.
No, I don't, and I don't
I've,
know.
I've been, like, subsequently, I've really been working hard to try and think of another five-syllable first name, and I can't think of one.
So it is a really special name, but she just wasn't interested in it.
Yeah.
Maybe she was annoyed because she'd never thought of it herself.
Yeah, if that was my name, I'd say, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Abagalaya. Five syllables. Count them. Abagalaya. another thing that happened to me, my wife and I were we went to see Sarah Pascoe's show the other night, which was brilliant. I think it's over now, so you can't go to see it, but it was so, so good. And so we're on the London Underground, and we have these, you will have seen us with them. In fact, there's one in front of me now, these reusable drinking bottles.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one of those examples of you have a little joke in a relationship, you know, you have your own little words and things. And this is a bit embarrassing. But one time Sarah was making fun of me before she owned one of these and just I had one. She was making fun of me because she said I'm like a baby with a bottle. And then she started calling it Bot-Bot.
Okay. Yeah.
So as a consequence of that, like we just call it Bot-Bot now.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're on public transport the other day and I was thirsty and I know she's got one of these things in a rucksack. It's a busy tube. And without thinking about it, I say to her, can I have Bot-Bot?
That's so embarrassing.
But at the time, it didn't even strike me as embarrassing, and she just got it out of a bag, and she gave it to me. So, can you think what people around us must have been thinking about our relationship?
Oh, that you go home and put a nappy on—that's what they're all thinking.
Excuse me, do you have any wood?
Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port, Adrift.
Ooh, I'm in the stream.
Because Annabelle's occupied with baby Rudy at the moment, doing the assignments isn't something you're able to devote time to.
Yeah.
So for the time being, until you're ready to throw yourself back into that with gusto, we need something to fill this part of the podcast. And I think we could provide a service for people.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, the thing that links us all, us hosting this podcast, you listening to it, is that we're all sort of trying to figure out how to behave in a way that makes it look like we know what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
And what would be very useful to anybody is knowing what the rules are. Then you could just follow them.
Yes.
So how's about this? We do a thing every week where you can email us about a situation, any given situation, and we will tell you what the rules are.
Great. Yeah.
And if we don't know, we can throw it open to the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
So you had an example.
Yes. So when a neighbour's package gets delivered to you because they're out, is it up to them to come and pick it up or is it up to you to go and take it round? I never know. And I end up sitting with the parcel in my hallway for days thinking, are they supposed to come and get it? Am I supposed to take it? I don't know.
There's probably an equation going on there because I think they are supposed to come and take it.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, I think that's definitely it.
Yeah.
But you can end up really resenting them if it sits in your hall for too long.
And also I wonder as well, because my neighbours know that I've got a small baby, whether they're nervous about knocking on the door at certain times and waking him up because it makes the dog bark, so they know I've got a barky dog as well. So I wonder whether they think, oh, could she just bring it round because I don't want to go and disturb them.
I think it's up to them. So you've taken parcels round before.
Now I've started taking them round now.
So I think they should say, oh, thank you so much. I would have come round and knocked on, but I didn't know if the baby was sleeping. I didn't know if the dog had started baking. So I think that needs to be made explicit by the neighbours.
Okay.
at the moment, I'm thinking they're not great people. They're just expecting you, this new mother, to go around there and
to
act as like a second postal service for them.
No, I'm just wondering if that's what they're thinking, because it does seem to take quite a few days.
The rule is, if that's what they're thinking, they need to say it out loud.
And then
you're thinking the best of people.
What's the time frame? Like, how soon do they have to come and pick it up? Same day, next day?
I think you've got
weekend.
So on a weekend. Mm. You know, it's same day.
Okay.
Unless you're out of town, then it's a different thing.
Yeah.
I think if it's delivered on a weekday, maybe you've got until the next day.
Okay.
And, you know, you throw it in the incinerator after that.
The incinerator! Okay, well, I'm just glad there are rules that I can follow. So yeah. I'm happy with that.
So I've got one which I don't know the rule.
Okay.
So we went to see Paddington 2 the other day.
Oh, and what's it like?
It's just wonderful.
Brilliant.
It's such a great, funny, feel-good film. The performances are brilliant in it. It's so sweet. I just loved it. Anyway, the reason I mention this is I've said before that I'm quite... The one area in my life where I'm assertive is shushing people in the cinema.
Very, yeah.
So we were watching Paddington 2 the other day, and it wasn't a kid's screening, just to make that clear. It's just... my wife and I went while Jean was at nursery. And there was somebody in the cinema sort of making quite loud noises.
Mm.
And I was about to shush, but I wasn't 100% sure if they didn't have mental difficulties.
Oh, well, and then that'd be terrible if you shush them.
Yeah. So how do you deal with that situation?
Oh, that's so impossible to answer. Mm. I mean, you need to ascertain. You either need to... If you're not sure, I suppose the rule is then you just have to suffer in silence.
But then I could be, you know, in my silence. Because all it takes for evil to prosper is for a good man to do nothing.
Evil to prosper.
I could be rewarding like terrible, terrible behaviour.
Okay, then you need to ascertain why the noises are being made.
So do you think I should go, do you have mental difficulties?
No!
I'm really sorry. I'm very sympathetic to that kind of thing. It's great that your experience in life, you know, not being hampered by that. Good on you. Continue making noise.
That would be one way of dealing with it. One way. I was thinking more something I'd like crawling along, I don't know, the aisle or something and trying to work it out close up.
Difficult.
It's very difficult.
Anyway, I mean, these are the sort of quandaries and conundrums we're looking for.
Mm.
So if you would like to know what the rule of behaviour is in any given situation, then email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. Tell us what the situation is and we will attempt to answer that. And if we get stuck, we can ask your fellow drifters what they think.
Yeah.
So please, let's hopefully we'll get a couple of those in over the next few days and we can do the first one next week. So email hello@adriftpodcast.com.
I have almost completely lost my voice, so I am using a Jeff simulator. Thanks to Men and the Echo for the backing music, and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music during the incident. Advice on the incident this week came from John Kearns. He's touring the UK in February, he's so brilliant, I've loved everything I've ever seen him do. You really should try and get a ticket, he's a genius and his comedy has a lot of beauty to it. Thanks to Vince Lynch and Simon Wilcox for providing our items. Patrick Gunning and Iwana Babu provided technical support. Carla Golit took our photos and Kim Rainey designed our artwork. Please support us on Patreon, even if it's just $1 per month. Go to patreon.com/adrift, and please share your story hello@adriftpodcast.com. Finally, thanks to this clever website, Livebert, for providing Robo Jeff as my understudy.
Adrift.
All right, podication time. And this comes from Shauna S. Winterbottom, who says, hello, Jeff and Annabelle.
Hello.
I hope you both and your growing families are doing well. I'm only one episode off from being completely on track with the podcast, so I'm feeling pretty good about myself. My podcast library is fairly large, and yours is the only one that I'm anywhere near being caught up on. So congratulations to all of us, really. That's lovely.
It's really
Thank
lovely.
You. That's almost the ultimate compliment.
Yeah.
Where are we up to? I wasn't going to write in until I had a really good reason to, but since you're begging for contributions, I figured I would go ahead and request a podication for myself this month, January. I had a few podications on the old show, but they were only ever to and from me because, like most of the other drifters, I am alone in my GLAP fandom. Mm. That's okay, though. It just means we're a special little club. Not likely to help towards paying off that in-home studio, unfortunately. I'd like to contribute to your Patreon so I can get my title, but alas, I'm simply too lazy. I'm also broke, but that doesn't seem like a good excuse either, since I can manage to go out and eat all the time. I think broke is a good excuse, lazy less so.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's no obligation to contribute
none
to Patreon, even though it could be the difference between us living on the streets or not.
It could be, yeah.
But no obligation.
We'll still do it when we're living on the streets, don't worry. Yeah. We'll keep going.
My publication will be to celebrate finishing my internship today, the 17th of January, and marching quickly towards the completion of graduate school this August. You better believe I'll be asking for another publication at that time, so go ahead and save me a spot. I've been working really hard at getting my master's degree in school counselling. Excuse me.
Oh,
I'm so sorry.
It's a mild cold, isn't it?
And I'm really looking forward to this new career. School counselling's not as big a thing over here as it is in the States, is it?
Do they even have them here?
I don't think they do. I'd be good at that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like this cool guy to whom the teenagers can relate.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'll put my Ray-Bans on.
Yeah. You should do it.
Yeah. Where am I up to here? Excuse me. I'm dying here of this mild cold. I'm 40. At 41, I'm one of the handful of older students, which made me feel weird at first, but now I can appreciate the wisdom that time and age have brought me. Not that my classmates, who were barely toddlers when I was getting my undergraduate degree, don't have their own words of wisdom. It's just that, let's face it, it's not as good as mine. I'm plodding through four classes this semester, and then I've got a couple to do in the summer, but my mind is pretty much already out the door. I'd appreciate having a podcast to help motivate me through my last push, so any words of encouragement you have would be great. Do you want to start with the words of encouragement?
You can do it. Just head down, focus. I mean, these are all very stereotypical words of encouragement, aren't they?
Listen to this. Eyes on the prize.
Oh, fortune favours the brave.
Yeah. Is it the brave or the bold?
Oh,
it's maybe it's wrong. The brave.
No, it's the bold, isn't it? Right. Only reason I know that is from Deal or No Deal. People say that sometimes on there. Oh, dear.
Like it's not just completely
arbitrary. I know.
All right. Shauna, congratulations. That's very exciting. Yeah. New career and all that.
Yeah.
I've considered my options and there really aren't any.
Come on. We've already ascertained that put your Ray-Bans on, you'd be a good school counsellor.
This comes from Paul from Belfast, who says, greetings, Annabelle and Jeff.
Greetings.
Would it be possible to get a podication for my niece, Kiva? I read ahead because you taught me how to pronounce it because it's... guessing it's an Irish name.
I think so, yeah.
C-A-O-I-M-H-E. That's really made to throw people, isn't it? That's made to weed out spies.
Yeah.
That's why they invented that name. Kiva. But it also reminds me... Remember in Flight of the Conchords, there's one episode where Jermaine, to his shame, starts dating an Australian girl.
No.
And her name is Keitha.
Keitha?
Like Keith with an A.
No,
on the
amazing.
So it's I think Kiva is a slightly nicer name than Keitha.
It's a lovely name.
Keitha.
Yeah.
For on or around the 26th of January, for what will be her 10th birthday. She originally got a podication from yourselves on the radio show when she was born, when you discussed about embarrassing her when she turns 18, along with the future possibility of beaming programmes straight into people's heads.
That's only 8 years in the future.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think we're halfway there. So we've gone from radio to this.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Nearly there.
I mean, if the listenership dwindles, you find a way of just beaming it into Kiva's head.
Yeah, I'm sure we could do that.
Unfortunately, due to workloads, meeting a girl, getting engaged to the girl, marrying the girl, getting a mortgage, getting a dog, having a son and having another son, I haven't been able to keep up with the radio show. But now with the podcast, it feels like meeting up with old friends you haven't seen in a while, but picking up exactly where you left off. That's a lovely thing.
It's really lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I can make it in time for the podcation. Otherwise, I would have written a letter and included some swanky chocolate, which worked in the past. I've been in touch in I'll be in touch in 2016. What if he means 2018?
Mm.
Unless he's going to time travel.
Whoa.
And imagine if we, like, 2016 us gets a letter telling us what we'll be doing in 2018.
Oh, this is making my head hurt.
Yeah, okay. And with any luck, you will have something up and running in 8 years' time, perhaps beaming messages straight into your heads. Who knows what the future will bring? I think we're there. I think we're making good progress. Mm-hmm. Progress. Progress.
You can say however you want.
I keep saying I've forgotten how to speak since I've been married to an American. There are certain words, like I keep saying adult as adult.
Oh.
Yeah, terrible, right?
Yeah. And it, I mean, I would say progress, but...
Yeah, and it should be progress. It should be. This stuff needs... I think any time I do one of these, you need to come down on me like a ton of bricks.
Shall I clap loudly?
Yeah, or
okay.
Boo.
Boo. Okay, yeah. I'm going to boo you. Okay.
Lots of love. Paul from Belfast. Well, Kiva, very exciting. 10 years old, into the double digits.
Yeah, double figures. Yeah.
I hope you have a wonderful birthday. And we'll be here on your 18th to beam some stuff straight into your head.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, that's the latest edition... Excuse me, podcast. Podicated to Kiva from Uncle Paul from Belfast and to our friend Shauna S. Winterbottom. And if you'd like a podication, then email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.